Hello, hello. You're listening to the Relationships Made Easy podcast. I am your host, Dr. Abby Metcalf. This is episode 60.
You are listening to the Relationships Made Easy podcast with Dr. Abby Metcalf. Change your relationship even if your partner won't do a thing.
This is all about the real problem in your relationship. That's what's coming at you today. So September's back to school, and it's a time for new learning and fresh starts. And we're going to be doing the same here at Team Abby. Starting this month, starting in September, I'm going to be coming at you with a new topic each month. I'm going to be doing a deep dive every each month on a topic. And this really comes from you guys, the listeners, asking for, you know, I hit so many topics and sometimes it can get overwhelming. You know, where do you focus? Where should I put the most energy? What should I do, Abby? And so I'm listening to you, and my dear friend, and I'm coming at you with where I want you to focus. And so So starting this month, we're starting with the basics, what I teach every new couple who walks through my door. So September, October, November, December, you know, this getting you into a fresh start for January, we're going to be coming at you. So you got to love that, right? And really having a fresh start now. You don't have to wait till January. I'm just saying by January, you'll really be a communication and connection ninja in your relationship. And we can create all that now, but you can have a great relationship really soon. You don't have to wait till January. I know a lot of us do that. So I'm going to be giving you access to a freebie also at the end of every podcast from now on. So what's happened again is, you know, I've had some of you write in, you're asking for these things like, hey, is there any way I can get a little worksheet on that? Or can I get a checklist about this? And so I'm going to be doing that also. Again, totally free. As always, you have to put in your email, but if I already have an email list, you don't have to worry about it. And you can also obviously opt out at any moment. And of course, I do not share emails with anyone else. Nobody else gets your email. So it's just little old me and my little team. So it's something you can download at the end of every podcast, you know, if you want to cement what you learned on that day's show. And today's download, the little freebie I'm giving you, is really great. So stay tuned if you want to learn how to create more patience and more bandwidth in your life and relationship. Now, so what are we doing? So let's get going. So September is all about the real problem in your relationship. And couples walk away, well, let me start differently. Couples always walk in the door saying their problem is communication. I get that all the time. You know, Abby, the real problem is that we don't communicate. And you're wrong if this is what you're thinking. That's true that you might not be communicating, but that's a symptom of the real issue that's undermining your success. And I'm telling you, I'm going to be doing a TED Talk. Wow, it's September 13th. So it's coming up. And so next week I'm going to be doing this. It's called The Real Reason Relationships Fail. And it's all about what I'm going to be teaching you today and all this month. Now, the TED, of course, has to be less than 15 minutes, which is, I know, crazy. Can you imagine me speaking for only 15 minutes? But my friend, you're going to get the long version. You're going to get a whole month of the deep dive. So TED, if people don't know, are, you know, these ideas worth spreading. That's the notion of them, that it's a novel idea. It's something new. It's a new way to look at things. And that's what I'm giving you. And that's why I was accepted at TED. And that's, you know, really why folks who work with me have been really successful, because you're looking at your relationship in a new way. You're getting a new paradigm. Now, so we're going to do a deep dive this month into the real reason relationships fail. Okay, so get ready. Now, before we jump in today, I've got two things. One, I'm going to ask you to subscribe to my podcast if you haven't already. And, you know, when you subscribe, it, you know, all those algorithms and all the craziness, it helps other people find my podcast. And as many of you know, I am all about world peace. I believe if everyone had access to great information, that we'd have world peace. I really believe this. Great information, I should say, sorry, about relationships. And because think about it, if you were really feeling happy and connected and loved and cherished and accepted in your relationship, you wouldn't need to bully, you wouldn't need to hate, all those things would go out the window. And this is my way of doing that. So that's why, you know, I'm giving even more now, and I'm going to have the freebies. I just really feel devoted, I feel, I don't know, it's like a mission to spread the word. And then the second thing I'm going to do today and ongoing is I'm going to start doing a listener highlight each podcast. I so appreciate when you leave a review or send me a question. So, or sometimes people just email me like, hey, thanks, Abby, or whatever. So today I'm going to give a shout out to Jana L. from Orlando. And she, hi, Jana. Is it Jana? Jana? You didn't say. And who says, where's your podcast been all my life? I've tried out at least 20 other relationship podcasts and you blow them all out of the water with your real talk and tips I can really use. The only relationship podcast I listen to now is yours. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Abby. Keep them coming. Well, thank you. Thank you, Jana or Jana. you can write in and yell at me for saying your name wrong. I really appreciate when folks say things like that. I feel very flattered and humbled. And so thank you. And it means a lot. So yeah, if you want to hear your own little something put out there, you can get right in there and send me something or leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you are listening. And I'd love to give you a shout out. Okay, so we're going to jump into today's meat. And so I just want to start with the fact that there is a lot going on in today's relationships. I think it's different than any other time in history because of the advent of technology, which initially was supposed to give us more time. And I want to really be clear about that. So way back, because I'm old, I remember advertisements on TV ads for dishwashers. Sorry, I still remember this because, you know, people didn't have dishwashers. The dishwashers were your children. That's what you had. You had little people you created and they were your dishwashers. And of course, the moms usually. And there was ads for dishwashers. And what they would show, I still remember this, is a woman putting everything in the dishwasher. And then they showed her sitting down and I swear to God, usually having a cigarette, probably popping a little Valium too, but they didn't show that on TV. But she'd be sitting and laughing with her friends or having a cigarette and reading the paper or, you know, that kind of thing. That's what they showed. But that was the idea that, hey, now you can relax more. We have this technology and you can relax more and you can put your feet up and have extra time. Well, the opposite has happened with the advent of technology in our age now. So that is what happened previously. Technology would come in and it would make our lives more comfortable. There'd be more ease. There'd be more time. You know, you have an air conditioner. You have, you know, all these different things that really helped your life. Now, it's creating more and more and more. So now it's creating things where you're never off from work. You know, it used to be you left the office. That was it. There was, unless your boss was going to call you at home on the home phone number, that you weren't going to have to do work. Like work wasn't going to be in your life. And now that's a thing of way of the past. And so for most people, there's such a way that everything is just ongoing, never ending. And instead of creating more time, it's given us time to put more things in. And so when you start to put in, you know, the commute to work, work itself, spending all day with the kids or all the errands or things you have to do, deadlines, keeping the house together, trying to see your friends, doing a little self-care, what a crazy notion, and just the general maintenance of life, at the end of that, many couples just end up feeling exhausted. And, you know, God forbid you throw in kids or pets or aging parents you got to take care of. You know, when you put all that in the mix, many couples tip right over the edge of time management and bandwidth and their mental capacity. So with all these things competing for your time and attention, we often end up looking to our partner to save the day. We say, you know, to do their share, to do their fair share, we even say, to pull their weight. And what I see is you start watching everything your partner's doing and comparing it to what you do. So in effect, you're competing. And that is the number one problem in relationships. It is not communication, it's competition. It's the real reason relationships fail. And when I say fail, I'm not just talking about split ups and divorce. I'm talking about misery in a relationship also. I want to be really clear. And sometimes to me, that's worse than if you've split up. So this is the reason you're not communicating well. It's this undercurrent of competition, everyone ends up with an agenda and you stop having your partner's best interests at heart because you're worried about your own needs and interests. So, you know, will I have enough time to take care of myself or do what I want to do? If we use money for your thing, what will happen to my thing, right? These kind of stuff. The list goes on and on. So you start to keep this mental scorecard. And you know, if you're listening, you do this. I see you. You start listing all the things you've done and you compare it to what your partner has done. And you have this side-by-side thing. And this inevitably is going to lead to feelings of resentment, anxiety, frustration, disappointment, just good old-fashioned pissed offness are all in there. So these are not the feelings you want, obviously, if you're looking for a connected, happy, satisfying relationship. Now, so I don't care if you've been together 10 months or 10 years, competition is the real source of the problems in your relationship. You end up keeping score and competing with your partner in a ton of ways that you aren't even aware of. So today I'm really going to go deep into that, or I should say deeper into that, and then talk to you about what you can do about it. So you know me, I always have solutions, people. It's never like I dump something in your lap and go, here's your problem. Good luck. I'm always giving you something to think about with that. So here's how I want you to think about it. So there's basically four ways that keeping score in your relationship sets you up basically to lose, right? And I did a podcast on this a very long time ago, but I'm going to be breaking down each of those four ways that we end up competing and getting in this yucky loop over the next month. So that's how this month is going to look. I'm going to really go deep into these little areas. So today we're going to focus on the first way you lose when you compete with your partner, which is this: the fact that when you keep score, it sets you up on opposite sides. Now, this might sound kind of obvious, but my experience is you're not really understanding what it means. You kind of get it, but you don't really get it. It's a case of fish not knowing that they're wet. You're a little fishy who doesn't know it's wet. And so I'm trying to kind of uncover a blind spot for you today, that something you've just sort of been doing and not realizing is literally a cancer eating at the foundation of your relationship. So, okay, so let's talk about it. So what are the things we hear the most? I hear the most, hey, I drove Matt to baseball on Tuesday, so it's only fair for you to take Sophie to soccer practice on Thursday, right? You all know I hate this one the most because I've said it before. It's your turn to put away the dishes. It's not my turn. I did it last time. It's your turn to put away the dishes. Or your job is the taking out the garbage and my job is, getting the kids' lunches ready for school or something. We have this way that we divide things up in a couple all the time. And it's not a problem to each have stuff you do in the relationship. That's a good thing. The problem is the comparing and the competing. That's the problem. And what you decide is fair or not fair. And I'm going to really go deep this month into this whole idea of fair, because I got to tell you, you're way off on that. But that's for another podcast. Today, I'm going to really focus on this taking turns thing. So if you're saying it's your turn, you really need to listen to yourself. Taking turns, I've said this before, you're going to hear it again. Taking turns happens in games and sports. And if you're treating your relationship like a game, I can tell you right now, you're going to lose. Woo! Hello, come back to me. I don't know if you were daydreaming right now, I want you to hear that. You're going to lose. And you want to know why? Because keeping score like this in your relationship puts you and your partner on opposite teams. You are no longer partners. You might as well throw that word out the window, because partners, right, are people who work together towards a common goal. When you split yourselves on opposite teams, you're on opposite teams. So really think about this. If you're on opposite sides, it sets one of you up to win and one of you to lose. Now, how do you expect to have a connected, loving, trusting, open, vulnerable relationship when there's this underlying tension of someone losing? This is a problem. I hear people, this is my favorite. When you say to your partner, you need to take this thing off my plate. I have too much on my plate. I hear this all the time. I have too much on my plate. You got to take something off my plate. I want to scream, it's the same damn plate, people. It's the same plate. You do. Sorry. Are you having to turn down your radio right now or your or whatever you're listening to me on? Sorry about that. But this makes me nuts. Your partner can't take anything off your plate. It's the same plate. You're shuffling the peas around. You're moving them into the mashed potatoes. It doesn't matter. Nothing's coming off. You and your partner share one plate. You are one shared resource. You're the same plate. I need you to get out of that keeping score mindset and instead think of you and your partner as being on the same team. We are one shared resource. So when I pull energy from my partner, that means I'm actually pulling energy from myself. If my partner is exhausted, then I'm going to end up exhausted. And this is real, people. This is very real because everybody gets drained. Okay. So think about this. So let's say I'm a husband and, you know, I'll say a heterosexual couple, right? So I'm a husband and my wife, you know, she's doing all this stuff. There's tons of stuff she has to do. And I feel like I'm doing a lot too, you know, and I'm trying to, you know, I don't know, fix something this is so sexist as I talk, but you know, I'm taking out the garbage. I'm trying to fix something that's broken in the house. I'm changing a light bulb, whatever I'm doing, right? Taking the kids to practice. I'm doing the stuff. And number one, I might be getting resentful. Excuse me. I'm not editing that out. It was a little cough. Number one, I'm probably getting resentful because I'm thinking, oh, you know, hey, I worked all day and she was home and now I still have to do stuff. What is this crap, right? So that might even be happening right there. Because again, you're keeping score. You're thinking, oh, I was doing all this stuff already. And that's what's fair. Here's that fair thing again. Again, that's a cliffhanger for another podcast. We're going to go in there. But you start thinking that stuff and you're losing sight of what's real. So you start comparing, right? Oh, I shouldn't have to do all this stuff. But as you're doing it, your wife is exhausted out there because she's doing 8 million other things that have to happen. Now, later, you want to have sex. You're thinking, I want some sex. I'm ready. I need a blowjob. I need a whatever. And it's not happening. See what I'm saying? When your partner's drained, when your wife is drained, you get drained too. Because number one, you have more things you have to do because she's exhausted. And so you have to pick, quote unquote, pick up the slack, and that gets exhausting. And when you're looking to get your own needs met, she's too tired. This battery is drained, people. There's nothing left to give. So you can't just move things over from one to the other and expect things to get better. That's not how it works. Then everybody gets drained. Everyone's exhausted. Everyone is feeling left out, neglected, not taken care of, whatever words you want to use. And I see it over and over and over and over. And in my practice, I meet with real people all the time. I talk to real people all the time. I'm not some pie in the sky psychologist coming at you. I have real world all the time experience with people on the ground. And this is what I see over and over and over. And you're probably listening right now going, hey, that actually sounds like my house. So you got to stop this behavior. I need you to snap out of this idea of again, taking things off your plate or pulling your weight or sharing, you know, this stuff. You have to shift the paradigm. And I know right now you're going, well, Abby, we still have to get the kids to school and we still have to clean and we still have to like pick up the dog poop. So what are you talking about? I'm going to tell you. So to stop this behavior, there are two main things you need to do, and they involve math. Okay, I'm sort of joking. It doesn't really involve math, but there's math terms I'm going to give you. But it's certainly not the way you think, because people are laughing right now, especially my partner, Gary's laughing because he knows I...
If you're anything like me, you're bad at asking for help, like weirdly bad at it. I've been a busy gal for a long time now. Kids, partner, my own business, all the things that make for a full life these days. And my instinct always was to just white knuckle it and do it all myself. But I say it on this show all the time. Ask for help. You don't have to do it all. And meanwhile, there I was doing it all. And I finally changed all that, from my podcast editor to the person who got 10 years of photos off my phone and into albums I actually look at. I found amazing people to help me on Upwork, and I've been using them for the last 8 years. And you don't need a business for any of this, any project, any size, planning an event, sorting out something at home, finally handling the thing on your list you keep avoiding. Upwork lets you find, hire, and pay expert freelancers all in one place. With Business Plus, you can access the top 1% of talent on Upwork, and with AI-powered shortlisting, you'll get matched to the right freelancer in under 6 hours. No endless searching required. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready to help you and your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
Really don't like math. Okay. So there's two things I want you to think of. The first is subtraction. That's why I meant by the math. The first thing you have to think of is subtracting, taking things off your communal plate completely. Now, to do this, you've got to get good at three things in particular. To take things completely off the plate, you have to get good. There's three things I'm going to give you right now. One, you need to let go of any perfectionism or controlling behavior. You know, they say we teach what we need to learn. So this would be to me, because I'm a control enthusiast, as many of you know. So we all know I'm like that. And so I get how hard this is, trust me. But it's bringing you down and undermining your relationship. You don't have to do or have all the things. You really don't. Your children don't need to do or have all the things either. Let that shit go. Excuse my language. Let it go, people. There is a way that you've got to start really thinking about what is there and what really needs to be there. And I know, you know, it's like this race. Well, to get into a good college, we have to have this, and they have to volunteer, and they also have to have two sports, and they have to play an instrument, and they have to, like, with your kids. And no, they don't. No, they friggin' don't. And, or you have to have, well, you know, I want to have, you know, my house a certain way, and I need to, you know, I only want to cook organic, and I only want to go to, you know, farmers markets to get the perfect food, and I only want to, I don't know what you have on your mind. Stuff can go. Or you work so hard because you want the perfect car, or I want to drive something nicer, or be in a bigger house, or I want to own, not rent, so I have to work harder, more hours. No, you don't. At some point, you've got to look at things and go, what can go? What are we saying has to happen that doesn't have to happen? Really doesn't have to. We just get very caught up in that lovely little rat race. And so it's easy to forget that we're putting an importance on things maybe that don't, there's nothing more important than your mental health, I guess is what I'm saying. And really, I got to tell you, if your relationship falls apart, things get really tough, especially if you have kids. Living in two households and doing all that, you think things are tough now? Good friggin' luck then. It gets crazy. Money gets tighter. Time gets tighter. The kids are less happy maybe because they're juggling back and forth. Maybe. That's not a given, by the way. But do you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of things I'll tell you this, you're going to be worried about them. Or just about yourself and quote unquote starting over and all that stuff. If you have a good relationship, and then make it a priority and figure out what else doesn't have to be a priority. Okay. So that's one thing you have to do. Got to let go of the perfectionism or any of that controlling kind of behavior about what has to be a certain way. The second thing you have to get good at to start subtracting is you got to get good at saying no. No. The word no is a complete sentence, by the way. You don't have to justify. You don't have to say why. You don't have to go into all the reasons. You don't have to do anything. You're allowed to just say no. And then it's that. I love doing that, by the way, sometimes. Someone will ask me something, I'll go, nope. And just let it be quiet. Just let it be quiet after the no. Let them, but because as soon as you give a reason, they can start to rebut the reason. They can start to tell you why that reason's not real or isn't true or yeah, but you could do this or that could happen. If you just say no, it's just no. And there's nothing really to rebut there. So you'll get better results, I'm telling you right now. But regardless, make no part of your vocabulary. No, I can't take on that extra project at work. No, I can't be the bake sale coordinator again this year. No, I can't have you and your whole family stay at our house for a whole week this summer. No, no, no. No. Let me say it again. Can I hear you? No. Are you saying it? Say no right now, really loud in your car or in your kitchen or where the hell you're listening to this. Say no. Just say no. Nancy Reagan said it many years ago in a different context, but we're going to pull it back. So really think, and if that's really, I'm going to give you a little trick. When no is really hard for you, add the word yet. So when someone asks you about that project at work, you say, no, I can't take something like that on right now, or not yet, not yet. When you say that, it gives people like, oh, then it could happen, just not right now. I'm like, yeah, could happen, just not right now. Even though later you're going to say no again, maybe. But, or maybe you're not. Maybe life will shift enough that you could say no later. You'll have more bandwidth, more mental capacity to take something else on later. So, but for now, you got to get good at saying no. And then the third thing you have to do to get good at subtracting is, and this really dovetails right into the last thing you need to get good at, which is saying no. You need to let go of any people pleasing you've got going on. Yeah, I see you. I see you. Folks are going to be disappointed, frustrated, and maybe even angry when you start saying no. They don't like it. You've been saying yes. They like yes. They like that you keep saying yes. So others are used to you taking stuff on. They will not like this change, but they'll get over it as soon as you do. I'm going to say that again. They'll get over it as soon as you do. And what I mean by that is you got to let go of the guilt. You got to let go of all the, oh, what if they're upset? No, I don't like it if they're mad at me. I don't like it either. I don't try to make people pissed at me. That sucks. However, making myself happy and connected in my world and patient, you know, gives me patience and kindness. And, you know, self-care is a good thing. It's a good thing. And it really allows me many to be really great in the world in other ways. Draining myself and saying yes and pleasing everyone. And by the way, you can't even please them all, because no matter what you do, it doesn't please them. So there's a way that you have to say no. And I'll tell you, this has happened a lot. I have, so many clients who've done this, and I'm sure this applies to you. You know, you do that nice thing for someone. I had a client who was allowing a friend to stay with her, and who had really come into hard times. And she said, well, why don't you come stay with me? That's fine. And she stayed for months, by the way, months. And her friend started, you know, like kind of taking advantage of her, and like, you know, like, the friend smoked and started smoking in her home. And like every now and then I would try to sneak it, and wasn't cleaning up all the time, doing all kinds of stuff. But over time, my client just couldn't handle this friend there anymore. She meant it as a, you know, sort of as a way for this other person to like get their feet under them and move on. And it didn't happen. And the person was not moving on. So she eventually was like, hey, and she said it really nicely. She's like, listen, you know, this, it really isn't working anymore. I really need you to find somewhere else to be. And, you know, it's just time. And, you know, you can have a month to do that. You know, I'm just telling you now, so you have time. Well, the friend ended up moving out like literally that day or the next day. She was furious at my client, and has now been talking smack about my client for months to like all their other friends. And I've had this with clients having family members stay or having other people stay. It's unfriggin' believable. You do this really nice thing that's actually putting yourself out. You're not taking care of your own self-care over time. And then when you draw a boundary, the other person makes you the bad guy. You've all had this, I bet, if you're anybody who does this kind of stuff. And suddenly you're the bad guy going, how the hell did I become the bad guy? I have extended myself. I've done all this stuff, and now I'm the bad guy. Well, that's because you drew a boundary, and people don't like a boundary. They liked it when you were people pleasing and saying yes to everything and not drawing boundaries and all that good stuff. So that's what's going to happen, that you're going to make, you might even make some enemies, but you're going to make some people unhappy. You're not making them unhappy. They're going to get unhappy. You're going to have some people angry at you, and you've got to be able to tolerate that, because it's really important to take things off the plate. Okay. So that's how you subtract. And those are the three things you have to get good at to do that. And then the second thing you have to do to stop, you know, this whole idea of, you know, we're on the same team, we're a shared resource, we have to stop treating each other like we're on opposite teams, is you have to addition. See, it's subtraction and addition. You need to get out of keeping score and competing. You want to start adding resources to the couple, instead of always looking to your partner to fill in the blanks, or, you know, quote unquote, pick up the slack, right? You want to start adding other resources. So instead of thinking that it's your partner's turn to clean the bathroom, figure out how to hire a cleaning person so neither of you has to do it. And you can use the resources, you know, that you have left over for more important things, you know, like that rock star sex or just relaxing or finally getting to that dentist appointment you've been putting off, whatever, right? If you don't have money, you can do things like barter. I've talked about this before. You know, hey, best friend, can you help me clean the garage? And then later I'll help you, I don't know, clean your garage, or I'll help you do X, Y, or Z, or I'll just buy you lunch, or you'll have my undying loyalty and love. You don't always have to do anything for them. Sometimes it's they'll just do for you. Instead of, or if you could also swap. So, hey, mother of my kid's best friend that I hardly ever speak to, can you carpool on Tuesdays and I'll do Thursdays? Can do that. And this will give you, you're going to school anyway. Why not, you can take three kids instead of one. It doesn't, you know, what's the big thing? But then you could have a whole other morning or two off. So there are many ways you can add resources to your relationship instead of exhausting the players on your team, instead of exhausting you and your partner. If you're both stressed and overwhelmed, again, it's not helping anyone. So you really want to always think of adding resources. And you might even think, well, we already have a cleaning person. Guess what? Have them come twice a week, or have them also do your laundry. I can't tell you how many people I talk to whose cleaning person does not do the laundry, and they hate laundry. Then have someone do it. Have someone, you know, I don't know, mow the lawn or whatever. I have hired a neighborhood kid before to pick up dog poop. Yeah, I have. I have. It sometimes you just got to figure out, like, where can I get help? It might be a small, tiny thing, but if you add a resource, if you add someone in to help, maybe driving your kids to school instead of you, or picking them up after school, or helping them with homework, or whatever it is that you can add the resource, that's what you want to do. And again, you might be able to use family members or friends. You don't always have to spend money, but you have to think about, oh, maybe I could barter or swap or do something else to get this done so that I have this time, this energy, this mental bandwidth to focus on my relationship. I've said this before, I'll say it again, you know, folks come in sometimes for couples work and they'll say, and I'll say, okay, what are you going to take off your plate to make this happen? What resources are you going to add? And they'll say, well, oh no, we've got it. You know, we got a babysitter. We're good. You know, we have this time to come to you every, you know, whatever. And I'll say, no, that's not enough. It's not an hour a week with your therapist or an hour a week at the gym with your trainer. Think of that. If you had your trainer once a week to get fit, and that's all you did, you didn't change your food, you didn't change how much you walked or exercised otherwise, you just had that one little hour a week that you focused on with your trainer, you would not get fit, my friend. You would not. You know you wouldn't. Or it would take you 90 years. I don't know. You'd probably be in a wheelchair before it happened. You have to think of it every day. You have to create that bandwidth, that energy, that mental capacity other days. And you do that by having time to think, by having things, less things you have to worry about. That's how you do that. So you have to add. Okay. So remember that when you constantly look to your partner to do their part, to take things off your plate, you're actually taking away from yourself. All right. And that's today's podcast. That's our broadcast for today. Now, as promised, I've got an awesome freebie for you to help you cement in today's lesson. I call it creating more patience and bandwidth. It's a little quick sheet. And I want you to come over to abbymetcalf.com/podcast. This is episode 60, and you can grab the free download. It'll take you really less than 10 minutes. I did it myself. And it'll help you create a real tangible action step so you can start changing right now. We're not going to wait for the first of the year. We're not going to wait to your birthday or till Monday or any other day. Just do this. Take 10 minutes today. Give yourself 10 minutes. And I would love it if in the future with the podcast, whenever you chose to listen to it, if you thought of that, like any day I listen to the podcast, I'm also going to do whatever the freebie is. I'm also going to like download that, get right to it while it's fresh in my mind. And I'm going to start creating those tiny little action steps. Give yourself that extra 10 minutes to really take something tangible away. All right. That's it for today. It was so great chatting with you. I really, really like hanging with you guys. And as always, please, again, you know, come on over and subscribe to the channel, as I mentioned earlier. And definitely come over to abbymetcalf.com/podcast and grab your free quick sheet. And have an amazing, amazing week. And I'll be in your ear soon.
Thanks for listening to the Relationships Made Easy podcast at www.abbymetcalf.com.